Penguin Random House Audio presents The Fixer Upper by Lauren Forsyth. Read for you by Lily Hawkins.
Chapter 1. I'm afraid we aren't able to accommodate a table for one this evening, madam. The concierge at the Darlington was handsome in a bland sort of way. He had the sincere, apologetic look perfected. Almost. But he couldn't hide the irritated wrinkle above his eyebrow, or how his gaze kept shifting to the couple behind me. The kind of customers he wanted. Dolled up to the nines. And, more importantly, not alone. Here we go. I bared my teeth in a fierce smile, trying to ignore the embarrassment staining my cheeks. Giving me away. Not now, Allie. Well, I mean, you took my reservation, so... could you please see what you can do? Hearing myself nervously babbling made me wish I was someone else. An Amazonian warrior, perhaps, desperately in need of a steak and a quiet night. Or someone like my friend Tola, who would never take no for an answer. Yes. What would Tola say? I straightened my spine. Especially as it doesn't say anywhere on your website about not accepting solo diners. Madam, it's simply not... He sighed and turned his attention back to the reservations list in front of him. Say what you like, pal. I'm not going to slither away. Looking past him to the high vaulted ceiling, opulent chandeliers, and soft rose-crushed velvet seats of the restaurant, I finally allow myself a slow, soft exhale. I deserved to be here. I deserved an evening of decadence, of perfect wine pairings and statement food prepared by one of London's leading chefs. And just because I was dining alone didn't mean I was going to miss out. It's simply not profitable. That's what the concierge wanted to say. And he was going to try, ever so delicately, to shame me into giving up. If it had been any other night, I might have let him. But tonight was my night. Tonight was Third Thursday. The third Thursday of every month, I bought a delightful meal, drank something delicious, and read my book at a restaurant in London. I did it 100% alone, whether I was dating someone or not, safe in the knowledge that for a glorious few hours, no one was going to ask me for anything. Third Thursdays were circled in bright orange in my calendar. I had never missed a single one, and I wasn't going to let a snooty waiter ruin my record now. Look, man, I felt the man in the couple behind me lean forward, finding myself overwhelmed by a sudden cloud of cologne. Find her a table, okay? Otherwise, I'm pretty sure it's discrimination. The concierge pressed his lips together, and I could tell he was weighing up the likelihood of a social media storm. Diners in London restaurant come to aid of lone female who just wanted to try the chef's award-winning tortellini. I briefly considered bursting into tears. The concierge seemed to sense that was my next move. One moment, he snipped, and disappeared. I turned to the aftershave fiend behind me to thank him, and blinked in surprise. Jason! Allie! His face lit up, and he put out an arm so he could sweep in and kiss me on both cheeks. The woman at his side smiled, tilting her head slightly in a way that suggested she expected an introduction immediately. This is my wife, Diana. I nodded at her, uncertain. She looked so chic, and I tried not to scan her as she was scanning me, taking in her luscious dark hair and painfully stylish yet understated outfit. We seemed to come to the same conclusion at the exact same time. Jason had a type, and he had definitely upgraded. I pulled a hand through my dark curls, suddenly self-conscious. Married! Wow! Congratulations! I was a human exclamation machine. I paused, looked at him again and blinked. Honestly, I barely recognise you. This man had slick back blonde hair, a fitted shirt and smart black trousers. I squinted a little and wondered if he'd had his teeth whitened. The Jason I knew 5 years ago had lived in cargo shorts and oversized T-shirts with holes and tied his scraggly strawberry blonde hair back with a piece of string. He lived in his parents' basement, teaching guitar to local kids without much more in mind for his life than that. There were no hard feelings when I ended it. It had just run its course. They usually did, one way or another. I'd liked him, though. He was my exact opposite. Hippie, easygoing. His cargo shorts had hundreds of pockets that always held cardboard protein bars in case of emergency. He used to misquote philosophers and pretend he was making it up on the spot. I couldn't remember if that was what finally pushed me to end the relationship. That or his pinky fingernail he always kept long for strumming. That super long nail always freaked me out. Oh, I'm sure. I had a bit of a, well, an epiphany, I suppose. He turned to his wife. Ali and I dated when I used to be a lazy bum living at my parents'. In fact, I owe it to her that I finally grew up and got my act together. Diana raised an eyebrow and looked at me quizzically. I half shrugged in response. How's that? All that talk of potential, and that I could really do something with my life if I found what I was passionate about? He still talked with his hands, and I noticed his gold wedding ring glinting in the light. His nails were all cut short. I laughed, feeling myself blush. Sorry, that's my particular brand of enthusiasm. Love waxing lyrical about potential. It gets old. No. He reached out to touch my arm, kindness in his eyes. I kept thinking about what you said, and I decided I wanted to get my own place, you know? And then I got that email from that free course you'd signed me up for and thought, why not? I got a job, met Diana, and now we're here celebrating buying our first home. Wow, I breathed, blinking again. All that in 5 years? That's amazing. I suddenly realised where the conversation was about to shift, and there was no way to avoid it. I rallied my energy for the inevitable. Who's doing better now? Who's winning at life? There it was, that ever so slightly pitying head tilt, and then... So what about you? What have you been up to? Apart from arguing with a concierge about being able to dine solo in a restaurant on a Thursday night. Oh, you know, I waved away his question casually. Still living in London, working in marketing, getting turned away from fancy restaurants. They laughed politely, and I watched in horror as a queue started to form behind us. The concierge was busy raging at his manager, sending me death glares. So were you still at the marketing agency? You wanted to be brand manager or something, right? Jason prompted, and I tried not to wince. I was taken aback by the fact he remembered. I shouldn't have been. Jason had been sweet, after all. He taught me to surf one weekend in Cornwall, and we'd sat on our boards in the ocean while he told me I was an old soul. He played guitar beautifully and wore these little woven bracelets he made when he got fidgety. But the basement and the fact that I'd seen him once blow his nose into a sock because he couldn't be bothered to find a tissue were the fingernails in the coffin. And now he was a married homeowner with coiffed hair. I reached for the prepared statement I always turn to in this kind of situation. The statement that made me sound busy, potentially important, but not stuck up. The statement that said, I'm having such a great time living my life, I'm not even considering competing with you and your family and your marriage and your home. I am H-A-P-P-Y. Head of branding, yeah, I yelped. I'm on my way, still at Amora, ever so busy. We're really growing from a boutique agency to a place with lots of big name clients. I'm working with some great tech firms right now. I'm still living in London, loving it, breathing it all in, you know. Every day is an adventure. The interviews for head of branding are in a couple of weeks, actually. Oh, God. I'd been talking about that promotion to Jason 5 years ago, and as much as my boss Felix promised me I was close, I was still in exactly the same place. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you, Diana said kindly, clearly recognising I was absolutely no threat. And what about beyond business? Are you seeing anyone special? That eyebrow wriggle was starting to annoy me. His wife tapped his shoulder with her clutch. Don't ask people that, she hissed. And for a moment we shared solidarity. I shook my head and smiled to say it was fine, assuming a sing-song voice. Everyone is special in their own way, Jason. So, no one more special than anyone else? Even Diana looked irritated that time. Why did the happily coupled always insist on parading their status in front of everyone else, like we were the last ones left in a musical chairs semi-final? Better hurry up or there'll be no one left. I winked winsomely. I guess I'm just having way too much fun. I could almost see them think it. Fun like dining alone in a fancy restaurant that won't let you in. I winced, looking around for the next topic of conversation. But luckily, Jason had that misty look in his eye and took care of it for me. I really do want to thank you, Ali. Honestly, if you hadn't pushed me, I'd never have changed my life for the better. He gestured at Diana.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?